LGBTQ podcast that gives you news and views from a non-straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast, episode 37. Hey, Becca.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm a little overwhelmed, but I'm good.
Why are you overwhelmed?
Oh, it's been kind of a long week. We have I think I mentioned last week that we were having new owners at my company take over, and it's only been 3 days, but it's been a little challenging.
They were like, nothing's going to change. Everything will be the same.
Yeah. And then right away the changes start. I mean, they're going to be positive changes. It's just frustrating because I'm of the opinion, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Exactly.
You know, but you know, it'll wind up saving money and time the way they want to do it. It's just figuring everything out, because they've never owned a business like this before, and they don't know anything about the billing side of it, which is where I work. So it's kind of, it's a team effort.
Think if you were buying a business that you don't know everything about, and you've never run before, that the first thing that you would do is you would just sit there and observe and see what's going on.
Oh yeah. That wasn't that. They came in balls to the wall, and you know, I'm not, they're good guys. Like, they were customers of ours before they bought the place.
Okay.
So they're familiar with the business itself. They're just not, they just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, really. And like you said, they should kind of, I mean, Terry, my coworker, has been there for 39 years. Like, take some of her advice. She knows what she's talking about, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like, if you're going to go ahead there and you're going to make changes there, you know, wait a second and get to learn it a little bit better before you just start making these changes willy-nilly, you know? Just because you own the damn thing doesn't mean that you have to go ahead there and just make changes just for the sake of making changes.
Right. And the problem that is kind of happening is that it seems like they're trying to put their socks on over their shoes. If that makes sense.
It doesn't. But maybe what's happening, it doesn't make sense.
Like they're doing things backwards a little bit.
Okay.
But I, you know, they're new, and you know, Terry and I are just kind of stuck in our ways. So we're going to meet in the middle somewhere. It'll be good.
Right.
It'll be good. But right now we're all frustrated. Like, even the new guys are frustrated. We're frustrated. Sonny, the owner, the previous owner, the one that, you know, sold it to them, like, he actually got emotional this morning.
Okay.
And which was, I didn't know what to do. It broke my heart in two, because
he still works there then.
Yeah, he's sticking around for about 18 months to help them get to know the business, you know.
He's like their advisor, basically.
Yeah, and he's still the boss. Like, he's still the boss, so we'll see.
Yeah, one of the big things is that if you're listening to this show, you probably noticed that there was an extra show in the feed last week, and it was Not Straight News. Basically, what's Not Straight News is, it's an additional podcast that will come out the weeks that we don't have a regular Not Straight Cast. So it'll be in the same feed as the regular podcast. But it seems like, to a certain extent, we did not announce this beforehand. Well, we kind of did and we kind of didn't. So if you notice back in episode 34, it started as a segment in that show. And then our next episode, episode 35, we put the segment in when we recorded it. But when I went to edit the show, it was really long. You even said something during the show. I was like, man, this is a long show.
This is a long one. Yep.
So I had that in there and I was like, something has to go here. So I edited that out of the show. And still, even after I edited that out of the show, it was an hour and 23 minutes. And I'm like, okay.
We do get to chatting.
And then the next show, we decided, hey, we're going to make this its own separate podcast. And we put the announcement in that show. But then that show ran long too. And we edited out that announcement. So it was like we had this one segment and then just kind of disappeared. It's literally been a victim of editing. So, I mean, obviously that made us realize that, hey, this kind of needs to be its own show.
We're doing both.
So, yeah, we're doing both shows. And along with that is that now since we're recording the regular podcast on a different day now, we're going to release both Not Straight Cast and Not Straight News on Sundays. So that way then, basically, there will be a new Not Straight Cast 1 week, a Not Straight News the next week, Not Straight Cast the week after, and so on and so forth. So there'll be something new every week to listen to.
Well, at least for me, when I listen to podcasts, I look forward to that episode every single week.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's nice to have something. And if it goes too long, you know, I don't know. I think it's easier for people to lose interest that way.
Yeah. So like Not Straight News, it's only like 6 to 10 minutes long, basically. It's pretty much, it's just straight news, you know? So this is more or less, you know, like opinion and, you know, what the hell is going on with us kind of thing. So,
yeah.
And we're boring people.
Seems right? Like it sometimes. I feel very boring sometimes.
But I realize doing this every other week, we're actually not that boring, actually. We're just busy.
Busy.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you and I are trying to have dinner, and it's just kind of like, yeah, we have our own lives going on kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? Time goes real fast, and it gets away from me. You know, it's like, like yesterday it was Saturday, and now it's Wednesday.
It's like, weren't we complaining about like the last show being too long of a time between the last show and this show? And this show is kind of like too short of a time. I feel like we just did one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it went so fast.
Yeah. Along with all that there, we upgraded the radio station, upgraded the website. So all kinds of new fun stuff. You know, I'm not going to be too techie here, you know, but basically in this case here, then it's all good. And it seems
it looks good.
And it seems like things are starting to pick up a little bit here. People are actually starting to listen now, which is good. So all you listening out there, thank you so much.
Thank you.
But please talk to us, email us feedback@notstraightcast.com or send us a message or anything, or even send us a message on Facebook, you know, or Blue Sky or TikTok, you know, YouTube. That's basically what I've been doing there, along with like work and school and crap like that there. But you've had some stuff going on there.
I have. Like I said earlier, it's been a long week. I found out on Monday. This is sad. My good friend Melanie, she passed away on Monday morning.
Aww.
I met her a little over 10 years ago when I moved to Illinois, and she was one of my closest friends there for a long time. And yeah, back in 2021, she was diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's. Was that Lou Gehrig's?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Disease. Yeah. And it's a horrific, horrific disease. Your body just basically freezes up on you. Like there's really no other way to describe it. It's your muscles freeze and you can't swallow even. You can't blink.
You basically lose like muscle control and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a terrifying and horrible way to die. Once you're diagnosed, you have 1 to 3 years, maybe. So she was diagnosed in October of 2021 and passed away on Monday.
You don't know how hard it's going to hit you until it actually happens.
Right. And she was diagnosed, and I talked to her probably about a month after she was diagnosed, because she didn't tell people right away. But then her girlfriend messaged me and, you know, told me what was going on. So I reached out to her, and she was already losing control of her voice.
So she couldn't talk to you then, huh?
No. Stephen Hawking.
Okay.
He had ALS.
So it kind of gives us a frame of reference then. What can happen to you?
Yeah. Because like she had a computer that she would communicate with somehow. Yeah. There's no cure. And they're not even sure what causes it. And I'm still processing, you know, the fact that she's gone. They haven't said anything about a service. Like, we really haven't heard a lot about anything. Actually, my ex-wife messaged me to tell me, because they were good friends too. And I knew it was coming. I've been, you know, kind of expecting that message. ever since she was diagnosed, because it's a rapid fire disease. It happens so fast.
You knew that day eventually was going to happen, but still, the fact that it happened is kind of like, it's hard to take, you know?
Right.
And definitely in that case, sir. Yeah, my condolences go out to you, you know, and their family, obviously.
Yeah.
Because of this here, because I mean, it's just an awful disease. And I don't think anybody deserves this at all, no matter what.
No, it's horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. But enough with the sad stuff. Some good things that happened this past week. My girlfriend Sue came into town, and we went to see the Titanic exhibit at the Carnegie Science
Center. How'd that go?
It was excellent.
That's cool.
It was very cool. They had, stuff that they brought up from the wreck.
Yeah.
And
so the artifacts and everything.
Yeah. And then they had, different posters that had, people that were, on the boat, like some passengers and some more notable people like Margaret Brown and, Ismay that, pretty much conceived of the idea of Titanic. And he's also coincidentally the one that like cowardly hopped in one of the boats when they were just evacuating the women and children at that time.
You also mentioned that people would get tickets that had names of passengers on there.
Yeah. So when you get there, you get in the line and this guy, gives you your boarding pass.
Okay.
And so the boarding pass is very cool. It has like the White Star Line and it's supposed to be a replica of what the ticket looked like. But on the back, you got a character and you got your whole character's backstory and, where they were from, where they were going. Like my character was moving to America. Yeah,
who?
My character, her name was Nora, and she was moving to the United States to join a company of nuns.
Nora the nun.
Yeah, and then Sue got one. I forget what her person was, but her person survived, was one of the survivors, and I was a victim. I died.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Actually, this wasn't such great news, was it, huh?
But it was also very cool because they recreated a couple of the rooms. Like they recreated what a third class, stateroom would look like. And then they recreated what like a first class stateroom would look like. And then they had, the like D-deck hallways that you see. And they actually, recreated in the film. There was that scene when Rose and Jack are running down the hallway and the water is rushing up to them from behind, like that hallway they recreated. And they also recreated the boiler room and, one of the watertight doors, all done to scale too. So it was very cool.
Just an FYI, this room is going to fill up with water. Do not be alarmed.
There aren't enough boats for all of us, by the way.
Yes.
Hey, may the odds be ever in your favor.
Look at it this way. You didn't have to get to the Willy Wonka experience.
I saw that. Oh my God. I've gone to a couple experience things like that too. I'd have been jacked. Oh my God.
Quote unquote experience. But
yeah, did you
like, well,
see
think
that?
Of that one was good. The Titanic one you went to. But yeah, the Willy Wonka experience. Oh my God.
Yeah, this was more of an exhibit rather than like an experience thing. Like I went to this Alice in Wonderland thing one time, and then I went to another Peter Pan thing, like immersive experiences. And they're a whole lot of fun. We should go sometime. I'll let you know next time there's a cool one that comes into town. They're very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, I heard about the Willy Wonka, and that wasn't in the States, was it?
No, this was over in the UK.
Yeah, so people, I guess, got there and there was
like the abandoned warehouse blow up figurines and
yeah, and like nothing. Like I didn't see anything that even remotely resembled what they had advertised.
And people got like a third of a cup of lemonade. Not even a full cup, not even a half cup.
And they did give people their money back, and I did hear that, so that was good. At least they didn't thoroughly screw people, but there were some very unhappy children.
I always love, like, when you read a story from the UK, it's like how, like, you know, like something goes wrong, it's like how posh, you know. It's like the organizers could not believe that this happened, you know.
They're so polite about it, you know.
Right? You damn well knew this was going to happen. You just got caught. But I guess afterwards you went to a dirty restaurant.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Like, this place had good reviews. That's why I was so confused. And it looked like they were valid. It didn't look like they were a bunch of, you know, contrived.
You thought you were going to have a decent experience when you went out.
Yeah. And you know, the food was good, you know, in general, but like the sushi, like I got a California roll and it came out lukewarm. Like it was room temperature. And like, that's, I don't know about y'all out there or whatever. Like, I like my California rolls to be cold.
Yeah. Just sushi in general should probably be cold.
Cold. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it was room temperature. The food with the dinner was decent. I got the filet and shrimp and
it sounds like they threw the sushi on the grill too.
Yeah. It was warm. It was like a really uncomfortable experience. They were understaffed. First of all, so that was part of the problem. So, you know, maybe that was why the place was in the condition, but the grill wasn't cleaned all the way, and he kind of just started cooking on it, even though there was still like pieces from the last cook. Like there was sticky stuff all over the floor, and in the bathrooms, like, I'm not even going to go into that.
And of course it's probably like a boss there screaming, throw it all on the grill, throw it all, heat it all up.
Yeah. No,
sushi, throw it on the grill.
I just had this crazy image. So our server said they only had three servers on. It was a Saturday night. The place
was busy in there?
It was packed.
Okay.
Packed, completely packed. And there were the waiting room was packed. And they had three servers and probably just as many chefs but they were doing a bang up job, you know, all things considered. They had to be exhausted.
I would totally imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. They put on a little bit of a show and, you know, when they're making your food and stuff, but like the whole, we were there for probably 3 hours.
Okay.
From start to finish, because
which is still a long time to be kind of at a restaurant for, you know.
Well, yeah,
was your food coming out that slowly?
Yeah, it was slow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was real slow. It was everybody, the whole place was like that. So they just the table across from us just kept giving them sake. You know how they spray.
It's like, we'll get you drunk.
Yeah, we're just gonna get you drunk so you don't notice how long you've been sitting
and
here without your
about
food.
All this. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, like maybe it was, you know, because they were understaffed, like really understaffed. Like there was really no excuse.
It's like five pots of sake. Did I drink that much?
Yeah, there was a lady next to us that was putting it away a little bit there. I've never tried it.
I honestly have never tried it either. So yeah. I can't remember. We're both in the same boat.
Yeah. Rice wine, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
All us non-drinkers, huh?
Yeah.
Worried about drinking wine at Christmas time. Yeah. We're all kind of like it.
Yeah. I took like four sips and I've used the rest of that for cooking.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I think, I brought a bottle of wine over to your place. Whatever,
yeah, you did.
For New Year's.
Yeah, I made a wonderful steak sauce with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a really like nice deep red.
Sweet. Yeah, the wine that I got her was the 19 Crimes.
You know, Snoop Dogg on it.
Yeah, basically it has an image of somebody on there, and you can download an app onto your phone that you can basically aim it at the bottle, and basically the label will come to life and tell you the story about why they're on the label.
Yeah, it's really fun. Did you try it? It's fun.
I did years ago. Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah.
Of course, then there'd be the label with Martha Stewart on there, you know. I got put away for insider trading.
You know, her and Snoop Dogg's friendship is like my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah.
I love them hanging out together. It's the greatest thing ever.
But I think also, too, her being in the jail actually made her better. I like her better now
Oh, yeah, for sure.
post jail than I did pre jail.
Yeah.
She's a little less pretentious now.
Yeah. And you know what? She didn't snitch either. She didn't turn
Yeah.
anybody in. She did her time, and, you know, however short it was, you know, but, you know, she did her thing and, you know, didn't throw anybody under the bus.
She became cool all of a sudden.
Yeah. I think that's why Snoop kind of, you
Yeah.
know, adopted her as his friend, because, you know, he had mad respect for somebody that, you know, is going to take the hit, you know, and go on with their
Exactly.
lives.
I guess also, too, you've had some issues with friendships lately, huh?
No, not me so much,
Okay.
but like I don't know who's listening to this, so I'm just gonna say
A friend.
a friend has been
Okay, vague book.
yeah. So a friend of mine has been friends with this other girl for a very long time. And, you know, over the past year and a half that that I've known this friend, like she would make plans to go out with this, you know, her other friend. And but it didn't seem, she called her best friend, but it didn't seem like they were actually, it seemed like my friend was the other girl's friend, but that girl wasn't my friend's friend, if that,
Okay.
you know.
Yeah.
It just seemed really uneven. And then, you know, the friend starts going out with my friend, or not going out, but hanging out with my friend's
This sounds like a soap opera
ex-girlfriend.
all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, some people are just not meant to stay, you know, some people are meant to come into your life for an X amount of time, and you know, there's no future with them, you know, and it's obvious that, you know, this girl that my friend's upset about, like, clearly doesn't hold her in the same regard as my friend holds, you know, that girl. And like, she's spending time with my friend's ex-girlfriend, my friend's abusive ex-girlfriend. Let me just put that into the mix.
Oh no.
And back when they were dating, like the friend couldn't stand her, like she
Okay.
hated her, and now like they're best friends. And you know, when my friend calls her up and it's like, or messenger is like, hey, you know, let's make plans, she doesn't respond. Like, she just never answers. And
Yeah.
when she does make plans, she'll cancel them. So, you know, my friend, you know, went to stick up for herself, and she's like, yeah, you're hanging out with my ex-girlfriend, but you don't have any time for me. 'Cause that, like, her friend was basically like, oh, I've just had a lot going on and I'm busy and I don't have any time, but I see her posting shit on Facebook all the time. You know, me and my bestie, this is my bestie, and it's my friend's ex-girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah, it
Like,
just kind of just rubs you completely, utterly the wrong way when that happens.
yeah,
Yeah.
it's like, so I told my friend that, like, you know, just stop trying,
Yeah.
you know, wait and see how long, you know, if you stop messaging first, you know, if it goes a long time before you hear from her, if you hear from her at all, then you know exactly where you stand in that person's life, you know.
I used to be a lot more, I guess you could say, for lack of a better way to put it, proactive about my friendships.
Yeah, I
But
was
now
too.
I've kind of calmed down a bit. I'm kind of like, you know what? These people need to start coming to me. It's like it's been years and years of me putting stuff out into the world. It's kind of like it's time that I receive some back. And it's just amazing how little effort a lot of people will go through with these friendships, you know?
Until they need something for you, from you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because I had one of those friendships that I didn't realize was like that. That the only reason why they get a hold of me is that they need something from me.
Yeah.
When they start needing things from me, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm
Yeah,
not
you give
gonna,
the
you know.
energy you get.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm basically gonna put the same energy. Basically, if you make an effort to be friends with me, I'll be friends with you. But if you don't make that effort, I'm not gonna make the effort either.
Right.
And that was a big fundamental shift in my thinking there.
It was for me too. And you know what? My life is a whole lot more peaceful for it.
It's the experiences that you have are more fulfilling. feeling now, as opposed to being a lot less empty, I guess you could say.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because I definitely, I never feel lonely. I enjoy my own company, and like friends and relationships both. They are not in competition with other people. They are in competition with my peace of mind, because like somebody's company has to equal the comfort level that I feel in my own presence. And if they bring drama into my life or any kind of problems, that's it. I'm done. I'm not having it.
It's kind of like whenever like you and I get together and we record this, I look forward to it a lot.
Yeah, I do too. Know? I do too.
I'm definitely glad to hear that, because I mean, yeah, that's why it's my worry is I'm going to piss you off somehow. You're going to be like,
oh no,
this, I'm done.
No, I will. If something happens like that, I will like, I'm human about it. You know,
yeah.
Like, hey, you know what?
But you're going to come and say something to me like I would to you, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to just, no, because like some friends are worth, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, every friend, I think, is going to have disagreements at some point. Or, you know, somebody's behavior is going to piss somebody off. And, like, I know I can be a dick sometimes.
So. But, you know, I can be just as much of a dick as you are. So it's just I think that's why you and I work well, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like, we're kind of on the same wavelength, you know?
Yeah, I'm very sarcastic sometimes. Not everybody takes that the best way, you know?
I love it. I'm probably just as sarcastic as you are. Oh, man. Oh, man. So
you were talking about an abandoned house across the street from you?
Yeah. I mean, I live in Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, which unfortunately, because of the fact that the property taxes are so high here, I think
are
what happens
really?
Is that a lot of houses become abandoned because people just don't want to actually maintain them anymore. So they just literally walk away from them.
Yeah.
So there were three houses on my street, and they tore down two of them there. And the third house, which was right next to a nursery, they tore down just the other day. And actually, technically, they're still tearing it down right now as we talk. You probably can't hear it in the background, thank God, but I'm just kind of like,
no, I can't hear anything.
Well, I'm just doing enough audio processing to the point probably where you can't hear it at all, but I can hear it in the background. I mean, it's not nearly as bad. I think they're probably just now putting the stuff that they've torn down into, you know, like a dumpster or a skid or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and take away. Yeah, they're at the end of it there, but it's kind of like they've now torn down every abandoned house on our street. And it's not like these things were in horrible shape. It's just kind of like they just have not been taken care of there. But anyways, so it was all the noise that was going on that was kind of concerning me there, because I'm like, I'm not sure if I can record a podcast with all this noise going on behind me there, but so far so good. We're going to go ahead here and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the news here. So we'll see you here in about 2 minutes. Vacaya is a fresh approach to LGBT plus travel. One focused entirely on LGBT plus guests and creating memorable bespoke experiences built around amazing destinations, stellar entertainment, world-class hospitality, and endless fun. Vacaya's full ship and full resort vacations are built for the entire LGBTQIAPK community, so guests can have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. So if someone believes that love is love, then they belong on a Vacaya vacation. Fuel your Vacaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/Vacaya. That's nsc.lgbt/VACAYA. If ensuring speed and security for your websites is a top priority for you, then search no further than Vox Onyx's shared website hosting plans. Vox Onyx uses SSD-powered servers and provides numerous site acceleration tools that will make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, Vox Onyx has deployed ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, Voxonix will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system at no cost to you. Get started with a free 30-day trial. You don't even need a credit card at voxonix.com. That's VOXONX.com. Afterwards, it's only $4.42 per month. Visit voxonix.com to get started now. And now time for the news. So, a bill advancing through the Mississippi legislature may soon allow inmates in the state to sue prisons if they're housed with somebody who is transgender.
Wow.
Last week, state lawmakers advanced House Bill 585 out of a House committee, the Associated Press reported. The so-called Dignity and Safety for Incarcerated Women Act would require restrooms, changing rooms, and sleeping quarters in the Mississippi prisons to be segregated by sex, which the bill defines as a person's biological sex, either male or female, as observed or clinically verified at birth. Under the proposed law, inmates who encounter a person of the opposite sex in those areas designated for use only by members of one sex will be able to sue the prisons in which they are incarcerated. The bill does not address inmates who are intersex, according to the Associated Press. Notably, House Bill 585's sponsor, Mississippi Representative Gene Newman, Republican, said the bill was written in part by the Alliance Defending Freedom,
of course, an
influential anti-LGBTQ plus Christian legal organization that the Southern Poverty Law Center has designated as a hate group.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah. Shocker. Anyways, ADF regularly files legislation against any expansion of LGBTQ plus rights. ADF also helped to overturn the abortion rates nationwide. Despite not being able to point to a single example of Mississippi's prisons, which are already sex segregated, forcing inmate to share the kind of spaces specified in the bill with a person of a different sex, Newman said that House Bill 585 is necessary. It gives the inmate a course of action, Newman said. Just watching things that happen around the country. I mean, you got girls' sports. You got men that are pretending to be women just to win. It's going to happen in prison. Men shouldn't be with women, period. A 2020 investigation by NBC News found that trans inmates are almost housed according to the sex they were assigned at birth, rather than their gender identity. Transgender inmates are particularly vulnerable to violence, harassment, and sexual assault. A 2011 survey by the National Center for Transgender Equality found that 35% of previously incarcerated trans people had faced harassment by other inmates while in prison, and 37% reported being harassed by correctional officers or staff. House Bill 585 will be considered by the full Mississippi House, where Republicans hold a majority. If it passes, it will go before the state Senate, where Republicans currently hold a supermajority.
Of course it's Mississippi.
Yeah. Right? So it's just the Republicans, once again, are trying to, number one, invent problems that don't exist.
Yeah, which they're really good at.
Create bills to address these problems that don't exist.
Yeah, so they can appear that they're doing something when they're really not doing anything.
Right. And it's pretty much there. I've learned the difference between Democrats and Republicans are, it's kind of like, well, even just people in general and Republicans. Or a lot of people are of the live and let live mentality. You know, It's pretty much there. It's kind of like, I may not agree with what you're doing, but you're free to do it, you know, and I'm not going to complain about it there. Just don't involve me in it kind of thing.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people now feel that the Republican Party as we knew it is dead. Trumpism right. has completely destroyed what used to be, you know, a dignified party at one time.
It's,
you know,
pretty much now kind of like going off what you said there is Republicans are like, you're going to do it my way and you're going to like it. And there's no other way to do it.
Yeah. And that's the MAGA mentality that it's like, you're either with us or against us, black and white, you know, and
it's bad, just generally very bad.
It's, well, you see all the people that are, you know, not seeking re-election, like,
right.
Even Mitch McConnell was like, yeah, I'm not going to be the, you know, speaker anymore. He's just going to kind of take a back seat. I mean, he has blue screened a couple times when he's been on film, but, you know.
Well, he's practically, you know, dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the other hand.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, then he turns around a few days later and is like, President Trump is my choice for president.
Even yeah. though
after the whole entire insurrection, he was basically the first person on the floor to go ahead there and like derod him for doing this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is not acceptable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
They keep going on about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, we can make a whole entire podcast of just bitching about President Trump, but I think everybody has heard that at this point, you know?
I refuse to say President T. I won't refer to him
former
as that.
President Trump. Yeah.
Yeah, I refuse to even acknowledge that he was president at all.
It was a sad state of affairs.
Well, hopefully we won't see round two.
Exactly. That's the goal here, is the hope that he does not get elected ever again.
Yeah.
And well, he loses by a landslide, you know, and becomes inconsequential, you know.
Well, the Democrats have been very complacent for a long time at where the Republicans have been playing the long game. Like that Project 2025 was conceived in the 70s.
Okay.
By the Heritage Foundation. Like they first drafted it back in the 70s. So that this has been a long time in coming, and they have their players in place, and you know, we just need to go to the voting booths and, you know,
and boot them out.
Boot them out. Boot to the head. Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, you have an update on Next Benedict.
I do. On Friday, the U.S. Department of Education informed the Human Rights Campaign President Kelly Robinson that the department will open an investigation in response to the HRC's letter regarding Owosso Public Schools and its failure to respond appropriately to sex-based harassment that may have contributed to the death of Next Benedict, a 16-year-old non-binary teenager of Choctaw heritage. The investigation was triggered by a formal complaint made last week by Robinson, who wrote to the Education Secretary Miguel Cardona and asked his department to use the enforcement mechanisms at its disposal to prevent similar tragedies from taking place in the future and to help hold accountable those responsible for Benedict's death. The letter from the Department of Education reads, "The U.S. Department of Education Office for Civil Rights is opening for investigation, the above referenced complaint that you filed against the Owosso Public Schools, the district. Your complaint alleges that the district discriminated against students by failing to respond appropriately to sex-based harassment, of which it had noticed at Owosso High School during the 23-24 school year," said Robinson. And according to the letter, the OCR is opening the following issues for investigation. And it's whether the district failed to appropriately respond to alleged harassment of students in a manner consistent with the requirements of Title IX, and whether the district failed to appropriately respond to alleged harassment of students in a manner consistent with the requirements of Section 504 and Title II. Now, the HRC sent a second letter to the department asking it to promptly begin an investigation into the Oklahoma State Department of Education, as well as the current state superintendent of public instruction, Ryan Walters. In addition, Robinson wrote to Attorney General Merrick Garland asking the Department of Justice to begin an investigation into Nex's death. And Robinson wrote to Dr. Margaret Coates, superintendent of the Owosso School District in Oklahoma, calling for the superintendent to take advantage of HRC's Welcoming Schools program, the most comprehensive bias-based bullying prevention program in the nation, to provide LGBTQ and gender-inclusive training and resources, and offering to bring experts to the district immediately. You know, so hopefully, you know, we're going to see some kind of accountability for this, because.
Yeah, because if any student is abused at school, whether they're transgender or not, you know, they should not face what Next did.
No. And the thing is that Next is the one that was suspended. Like, these schools have these bullshit, no tolerance, you know, policies. But what winds up happening is that the bullies pick on a kid, and they pick on this kid, and they pick on this kid, and they pick on this kid. And eventually the kid snaps.
Yeah, the
and
kid fights back.
Fights back, but then they're the ones that get in trouble because they made it physical, you know, and it's such horseshit.
It is.
Like this whole thing, the way they've tried to handle this, like they have tried like hell to sweep this under the rug. And I'm glad to see that at least the, you know, human rights campaign is not allowing this, you know, at least some parts that are on our side, you know, because
it just sounds like the school's not doing their job. They're not responding appropriately to harassment just as a whole, you know?
Oh, no. And the girls that did that to Nex faced no consequences whatsoever from what I understand.
Yeah. Right? So it's definitely good that they're investigating this here. They need to investigate it there, and they need to bring whoever, you know,
is at fault to
justice.
They do.
And hopefully heads will roll. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
So, anyways, here we're going to go ahead here and we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with Lost Straightcast.
Body Jewelry has been in the business of supplying high-quality body jewelry items for more than a decade.
They supplied navel rings, nose studs, barbells, nipple rings, any item of body jewelry you need.
Their items are crafted from top materials like gold, titanium, steel, and silver, all by leading body jewelry designers.
They also provide fast shipping within 24 hours of your order.
Listeners of the Not Straight Cast can visit nsc.lgbt/body to check out their gallery of products.
That's nsc.lgbt/body.
Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections and diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is a safe space for all perspectives, fostering understanding and unity. Whether you're questioning, embracing, or advocating, Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Stay connected, stay informed. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everyone's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. In our next story, an anti-trans activist who has claimed fan fiction turns kids trans says that she was doing research when she was busted reading pornographic Harry Potter fan fiction on a train. Helen Joyce is the director of advocacy for the British anti-trans organization Sex Matters. And she has spent several years blaming fan fiction for influencing teenagers to assign female birth to come out as trans. A social media user who recently sat near Joyce and other Sex Matters staff on a train claimed that they were reading over Joyce's shoulder as she messaged the Sex Matters staff about single-sex spaces on her phone before switching tabs and reading Harry Potter fan fiction. I'm 1,000% certain I've seen the phrases, words, Hermione, Granger, mudblood, breasts. The pulse in his cock was almost unbearable, the user wrote, having recently explained Joyce's phone was set to a large letter type. Talk about large letter type. Yeah, I completely understand that with having the word bifocals now, or, you know, progressive lenses. I swear the stuff keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know.
That's what
and I
said.
Completely understand the reason why, you know, older people are like, I can't see in this restaurant, it's too dark.
Yeah.
Because I do that in my own house now. It's kind of like, I can't read this. It's too dark in here.
Yeah.
Anyways, getting back to the story. In the meantime, I realized she's there with two of the leaders of Sex Matters, and they're organizing some event, the user wrote. One of them is on the phone to talk about some Guardian article, and the other one is editing the Sex Matters website. All while Helen is casually scrolling Harry Potter porn. Can't make that shit up. The fan fiction has been identified as Mudblood. So if you want to go read it, there you go. It's a story written in 2019. It reportedly involves a sexual relationship between the characters of Draco Malfoy and Hermione Granger. In response to the accusations, Sex Matters released a statement that all but confirmed Joyce is reading Mudblood, explaining that it was part of her work. In the context of her work, countering the pernicious influence of gender identity ideology, Helen has done a great deal of research on how young people, especially girls, develop trans identities, the statement said. In her writing and speaking, she has often covered the significant role of fan fiction in this process. She has written about this for The Economist in her own newsletter and spoken about the topic in several podcast interviews. Joyce also posted about her research on X, seeming to explain her choice of reading material, although not explicitly referencing the accusation. She wrote, "The role of fan fiction in young people's adoption of trans identities is an ongoing research project of mine. It's incredibly powerful, and hardly anyone knows about it." Joyce is also a big fan of anti-trans Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling.
Of course she is.
Right? Yeah, exactly. She recently reposted a message on X that called Rowling a principled, high-profile woman who is courageous enough to keep speaking out against this anti-woman ideology.
Oh.
Really? Yeah.
So as a voracious Harry Potter fan, like
the, even more than I am, I can't say I'm a Harry Potter fan, but.
Oh, my wedding was Harry Potter themed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I even made a dress that was a replica of Hermione's, Yule Ball dress.
Okay. So
this is entertaining to me. I didn't know that there was pornographic Harry Potter fan fiction, but I'm going to have to look it up now.
So you know how deranged I am there is that if I had a wedding, it'd probably be fanfic themed. Not Harry Potter fanfic, just fanfic themed.
Fanfic. Oh, side note. Did you know that 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight fanfiction, or it started out as Twilight fanfiction?
I did not know that. No, you learn something new every day.
Yeah, so. It's very, very bad Twilight fan fiction. But yeah, E.L. James had originally put, you know, was writing this fan fiction online. And I don't know if it was Stephanie Myers, the author of the books, that made a stink about it. But then she wound up changing the names from Bella and Edward to Christian and Anna.
Okay. So yeah, just basically delete their names and put the other names in there, and all of a sudden, hey, we have a new fanfic and we have a new bestseller.
Oh, those books were terrible too. Like I read the first one and I'm like, okay, well, this is really, really bad, but I'm invested now. So I'm going to have to read the next book and then the next book. But E.L. James is such a poor writer. Like the grammar was terrible. It was really, really repetitive. Like just certain turns of phrases and things that she used. And she gave Anna this painful inner monologue. So in this case, it was, you know, usually books are far better than the film versions, but in this case, the films were 10 times better than, they were so much better than the books, could cut out all that, you know, garbage writing that E.L. James put in there. Like, she's a terrible writer, and her editor, you know, off with her head.
Right. You know, it's like, kind of funny because have you ever heard of the Nifty Stories Archive?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Basically erotic stories online.
Okay.
And honestly, I go in there sometimes myself. I just like to read stuff.
Sure.
There's some damn good stories on there. There's some damn bad stories on there too. But you name it, it's so there, you know?
Yeah. I'll have to check that out too.
Yeah. If you want your fill of lesbian stories, there you go.
All right.
In gay stories, in trans stories, in younger and older stories. And bestiality stories. Oh my God.
Oh no.
They have it all.
Oh no.
Well, you got to be fair, you know.
I suppose.
You have the goose, you have the gander as well, you know. There's probably goose and man stories on there too, as far as I know.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to go there.
Honk.
Oh my God.
Honk, honk.
needs to write that story now. Yeah.
As you know, we love Goose on Man action.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Anyways.
Moving right along. Our next story. X, formerly known as Twitter, has quietly reinstated an anti-harassment policy that forbids users from misgendering or deadnaming others. However, X's transphobic billionaire owner, Elon Musk, who removed the policy in April of 2023, suggested he may repeal the policy once again after after complaints by anti-LGBTQ plus troll Chaya Raichik, who goes by Libs of TikTok online.
Of course. It has to be her.
Yeah. In recent updates section of X's policies covering the use of prior names and pronouns, the site's administrator said that X will reduce the visibility of posts that purposely use different pronouns to address someone other than what that person uses for themselves, or that uses a previous name that someone no longer goes by as part of their transition. The updated policy says that X administrators must always hear from the target of misgendering and deadnaming to determine if a violation has occurred, essentially leaving it up to targeted people to report any such harassment. Musk initially repealed X's ban on misgendering and deadnaming initiated by the social platform in 2018 when he realized his own transphobic tweets possibly violated the ban.
Yeah, sure. Right.
He is a disgusting person.
Like, that's why I exited Twitter, because
me too.
That's why Not Street Cast does not have a presence on Twitter anymore, because of the fact that when Elon took it over, basically bad things happen on Twitter now.
Well, yeah. As soon as I knew he took it over, I deleted my account. I was like, I'm not going back on there. Shortly after news of the reinstated policy spread online, Raichik tested it by deliberately misgendering and deadnaming three famous trans individuals. In response to her February 29th post violating policy, Musk wrote, "You're not going to get suspended," implying that the policy exists only in theory and won't be consistently enforced, even
in
if Raichik's targets report her harassment. So even if somebody reports it, like, nothing's really going to happen. In a subsequent exchange, Musk wrote that policy only applies to repeated targeted harassment of a particular person. And predictably, Raichik responded, "Using the correct sex-based pronouns for someone is harassment. We're being forced to lie. What about harassment in general? There are accounts that repeatedly target and harass specific individuals in an obsessive way. What constitutes repeated and targeted, and why do only one group of people get their special treatment?" You know, her argument is disingenuous, since it, even cisgender people can be misgendered and deadnamed. Moreover, X's policies ban harassment against anyone. The policy in question just notes that deadnaming and misgendering are forms of harassment that are banned. This whole thing about, you know, deadnaming and not wanting to, you know, use trans people's chosen names, it's too hard. It's, you know, like, people that are non-binary, it's too hard to use they, them. I'm like, really? Well, when someone gets married and changes their last name, you're fine about that.
But if I said that, hey, no, I don't think that you're Rebecca, you're Richard, and you're male.
Yeah. Yeah, because you look like a male to me. Like,
yeah, it's completely offensive, you know, and just completely utterly rude.
It is going out of your way
to be an asshole, basically.
Be an asshole, yeah. And, like, that's so unnecessary. And it's like, it just, like you said earlier, live and let live, man.
Yeah.
Like, let people be who they need to be. Like, this world is horrible enough without somebody telling you that you're not who you are. Yeah, Musk has a long history of spreading transphobic rhetoric, and trans people have long been worried about the effects his purchase of X would have on them. And studies have found that hate speech has proliferated on the site, generating millions of dollars for the website since Musk purchased it, scaring away big name advertisers in the process.
It's kind of like, how are you generating millions of dollars when you're scaring away all your advertisers?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that works. But
I think you're probably losing millions of dollars because you're scaring away all your advertisers.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, it's, you know, groups like the Heritage Foundation or, you know, the ADF, you know, giving them money because they're, you know, PACs.
It's basically, it's kind of like, you know what, it's like, why do you feel the need to insert politics into something that politics should not be inserted in? You know,
people aren't politics.
Like, yeah,
people,
it's kind of like
aren't politics.
It should be very much a kind of like live and let live kind of situation with this here, because, you know, by you going out of your way to attack one, you know, segment of society there,
yeah,
you're making things just worse for everybody else overall.
Right, because, you know, you start attacking trans rights, and
then what's
and
next?
And well, then they start taking, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, the we're taking away the hormone blockers. Like, that's not all they're used for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they're saying, oh, you know, like the hormones themselves are going to be illegal. Well, there are a lot of women that need estrogen, and there are a lot of men that use testosterone. You know, they might have low testosterone levels naturally or something. And, you know, it's a medical decision. It hasn't, you know, nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with politics, but here we are.
It is time now for what I think is a very interesting moment of conclusion.
Gay, lesbian, and intersex Wales. Our queer sea has much to teach us.
The queer first sea.
The first documented sex between two male humpback whales in 2022 is just the latest challenge to our presumptions about sexuality. Whales are extraordinarily sensuous creatures. At social meetings, pods of sperm, humpback, and right whales will roll around one another's bodies for hours at a time. Philip Hoar, one of the contributing writers to this story, claims he has seen a group of right whales engaged in foreplay and penetration lasting an entire morning.
So he watched a whale orgy.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he did.
I can see why you think this lasts an entire morning.
Yeah. Ooh. Ah. Oh, gross.
Right.
And he goes on to say, I've also watched a male-female couple so blissfully conjoined that they appeared unbothered by our little fishing boat as they passed underneath it. And what may sound like a career of cetacean voyeurism, I have also caught up in a fast-moving super pod of dusky dolphins continually penetrating each other at speed, regardless of the gender of their partner.
Oh, and, God, this sounds like a fanfic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Our dolphins are fucking.
You should have seen the photographs that came along with this article.
Oh, no, there were photographs.
There were. Off the northwest Pacific coast of the U.S., male orcas often leave family pods to rub their erections against each other's bellies.
It sounds like they're like on Grindr hookups, right? I'm going to go out and rub my belly against somebody else's belly. I'll be back in an hour.
Grindr Under the Sea edition. But females have also reportedly been seen engaging in sexual contact with one another, too.
So we have orcas, dolphins. What else do we have here?
Right,
sperm whales.
Sperm whales.
Humpback whales. Right, yep. Whales. Yeah, it's just, oh, my God. The gay sea, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Pure sea.
Indeed, the graphic accounts of male-to-male behavior may mask many unseen female-to-female sexual interactions. A recent study in the journal Nature showed same-sex sexual behavior occurs in at least 261 mammalian species, about 4% of the total number of mammalian species. Jose Maria Gomez, an evolutionary ecologist at Estación Experimental de Zonas Áridas in Spain, says by email, homosexuality has also been seen in many bird species. Bi penguins have been stirring things up for over a century.
That's old news.
Yeah. The first record of same sex in penguins was in 1911 when explorer George Murray Levick discovered depraved behavior in wild adelies. In 2000, a pair of male chinstrap penguins at New York City's Central Park Zoo bonded and raised a chick from an egg they'd been given to foster, inspiring the children's book And Tango Makes Three. More recently, penguin behavior sounded like it was ripped straight from a celebrity gossip site when it emerged that two male penguins had stolen an egg from a hetero couple at a Dutch zoo and then proceeded to steal an egg from a lesbian couple the very next year. Over the past 20 years, a burst of research, driven in part by a new generation of scientists more accepting of queerness, has shown significant amounts of previously unreported homosexual behavior throughout the animal kingdom, from flower beetles to gorillas. While few animals are exclusively gay or lesbian, an extraordinary number, it appears, engages in some form of same-sex relations.
My God.
But homophobia only exists in one species.
That would be ours, yeah?
Ours,
you got
yep.
it. You nailed it. Thank you for listening to Not Street Cast. Subscribe to us where all great podcasts are sold. Visit Not Street World, which will allow you to access all of our websites, Not Street Cast, Not Street News, and Not Street Radio at notstreetworld.com.
We want to hear from you. Email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/VM. Your voice message could make it on a future show. And until next time, have a not straight one. Bye for now.
Bye. Copyright 2024, Voxonics, LLC.